There are a ton of WordPress themes out there today, and one of the questions I get asked a lot as a WordPress theme developer myself is, hey, what makes a good one? So I'm gonna dive into a lot of the pitfalls and some of the things that slow down or make for a bulky or clunky WordPress theme, and how you can avoid it, and for specific features and functionality to look for a really good WordPress theme. We're gonna get into that and a whole bunch more today on The Notable Show.
It's the program that makes creating and growing an online business fast, simple, and even fun. You're listening to The Notable Show.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Thomas McGee and this is The Notable Show, the show that's here to help you create an online business that's truly notable. Okay, so today we're going to talk all about WordPress themes. So this doesn't really matter if you are brand new to WordPress and you're not even using WordPress at all right now, or if you've been using WordPress for years, I think this will come in really helpful for you. So we're going to talk all about what makes an effective WordPress theme, and I'm even going to touch on a little bit deciding whether or not you're going to go for a completely custom WordPress theme or something that is pre-built. So this is going to apply a little bit more to if you're buying something that is pre-built, a premium WordPress theme, as they are commonly referred to, and really what makes an effective one. So again, as I mentioned in the intro, there's a lot of things that can go wrong or be, I guess, not that well developed when it comes to a WordPress theme, and they can kind of harm you further down the road as you start to grow and to expand your online business. But before we get into the WordPress theme fundamentals or the key and effective things to look for in a good WordPress theme, let's go ahead and dive into today's notable tool.
Useful for any stage of online business, it's time for your weekly notable tool.
Okay, so today's notable tool is something a little bit different, and that is a WordPress theme checklist. So this is actually something I have created, a downloadable just for you, oh faithful listener. So that's one of the great things about listening to The Notable Show is I'm going to pretty regularly be creating useful tools and resources that are exclusive to you as a listener. So if you'd like to get a hold of this checklist, just hop on over to notableshow.com/6. Again, that's notableshow.com/6. And there'll be a little place somewhere on the page, probably a little bit more towards the bottom, where you can actually just type in your first name and email address, and we will actually have one automatically emailed to you so you can go and utilize that checklist. So the checklist is going to follow pretty closely what I'll be covering in today's show. The whole idea is that you can use this checklist over and over again as you are doing your shopping or your hunting or you know, as you're searching for a WordPress theme or whatever it is you're trying to do in regards to a WordPress theme. So let's say you have a WordPress theme that you want to go out and buy. Well, make sure they kind of follow some of the fundamentals that are listed out in the checklist. Or if you decide you want to hire a web developer or you're hiring a firm or someone to actually create for you a WordPress theme from scratch, this checklist will come in really handy for that as well, again, because you want to make sure that a lot of these elements are included in that WordPress theme. So again, I have maintained and managed, I've lost track of how many WordPress themes to date. But I've come to know and to see what makes a good one, not only from the development standpoint, but even more importantly, from the management standpoint for you as the actual content creator and manager. And in addition to that, from the user experience. So from people who are actually visiting your website, what makes a good one. So again, go grab that free checklist. Again, it's going to follow pretty closely what we're covering in today's episode. But it's going to be useful for you, I think, for many years to come. So you can get that at notableshow.com/6. Again, that's notableshow.com/6.
Never miss a thing. Go to notableshow.com to get email updates of the latest episodes, free resources, and more.
Okay, so now for today's main topic, which is the elements of an effective WordPress theme. So before I get onto that, I wanted to take a quick aside to something that I see pretty commonly on the WordPress marketplace today. So part of the reason I actually decided to start Notable Themes as a whole was because a lot of these multi-purpose, so-called multi-purpose WordPress themes that are out on the marketplace today. So I'm just going to give you a kind of a quick aside into these multi-purpose WordPress themes and why I generally tend to recommend that you stay away from them. Okay, so these are very common. I'm not going to name any specifically, but the whole idea behind a multi-purpose WordPress theme is that they are exactly that. They don't really fit any particular niche or market or industry. They're just kind of these gigantic, colossal, massive WordPress theme frameworks that you or a designer or someone else can use to build your website. Now, the problem with having, here's kind of a quote I've kind of come to repeat over and over again that I came up with when I was first dealing with a lot of these multi-purpose WordPress themes, and that is, if a WordPress theme does everything, then it does nothing well. And that's really the problem with a multi-purpose WordPress theme, is that it just does everything. It doesn't have any particular niche or purpose or solution. You could be a chiropractor, you could be running an online shop, you could be doing, you know, nails, you could be an author. It doesn't matter who or what you know, who you are or what you do, this theme is supposed to be for you. But one of the big problems with this is that every single niche, every single market, every single different type of industry out there has different needs that a website has to accomplish. And even more than that, there are specific marketing goals as well. One of the things you've probably heard me talk about if you listen to some of the previous episodes is how important it is for a website to help you build your email list, how important it is for a website to help build sales or gain or capture leads, or, you know, there are specific goals that are particular to your style of doing business that a website has to help you do effectively in order for the website to be effective or actually help you in building your business. So again, one of the things I always like to say is, you know, is your website a business card or is it actually a business? And the problem I have with a lot of multi-purpose WordPress themes is that they are little more than a really fancy, graphically intensive business card. And that's, again, one of the problems I have with the multi-purpose theme is they don't actually solve any functional problems. Some of them have blogs built into them, which kind of helps. Some of them allows you to do maybe some podcasting and stuff. But they're not set up to help you grow your list. They're not set up to help you make sales. They're not set up to help you gain more clients or customers. So that's one of the things I set out to do personally when I started building out WordPress themes, was to ensure that every single theme I created was A, for a particular market or a particular set of industries or a niche, and number two, help to solve specific problems. One of the other issues I have with multi-purpose WordPress themes is that in addition to not really solving any functional or business problems, they focus far too much on features rather than benefits. So if you go and you look at some of these themes, what you'll see is that they tend to focus a lot more on, hey, we've got dozens of layouts, we've got thousands of icons, we've got millions of fonts, we've got all the, okay, so. But the question for you as a business owner is, how does thousands of icons help me sell more books? You know, how does 400 different framework layouts help me book more speaking engagements? The answer is it doesn't. Now, don't get me wrong, those things can be helpful, but mostly to a developer or to a designer who's going to be using that framework. So the question for you then is, okay, so what WordPress theme or what specific pieces in a WordPress theme is going to help me accomplish the goal of building and growing my business? I'm not going to harp too much more on multi-purpose WordPress themes, but one of the other things that can tend to be a little bit of a problem when you're packing all of these features and all these frameworks and all of these page builders into a WordPress theme is that it's going to get hefty. It's going to get really hefty and it's going to get really slow. So that's one of the other problems, is because they're building so much, because they want this theme to be able to do just pretty much anything under the sun, they have to build a ton of frameworks and page builders and icons. All those things they're boasting about are going to slow down performance, as opposed to having a WordPress theme that's kind of crafted or tailored a little bit more to the specific goals that you need them to accomplish, rather than, you know, having 5% of the features for things that you need and the other 95% for things that you don't. Okay, so one of the questions people tend to ask, and I've heard asked many times is, okay, so should I get a pre-built WordPress theme or should I have one custom developed? So my answer is typically that if you can, I would have one custom developed. But I would not do that right out of the gate. What I would typically recommend is start out with something that's pre-built or a premium WordPress theme. I don't typically trust most free ones. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a good free one out there. All I can tell you is that I haven't found one that seems to be really good in terms of building an online business. Now, if you're just going to do a blog or a little bit of writing, you're just testing it out, sure, go free. You know, because there's a lot of free ones out there and they can be pretty decent. But once you're kind of ready to go pro and you're like, I want to actually grow an online business, going for a premium theme is typically the way to go. So here's what I typically recommend. If you're new, if you're just starting out with your online business, just buy a theme. Even if you have the cash flow to be able to get something custom built, I typically recommend start with something that's pre-built because you can learn a lot through the process of setting up that WordPress theme and getting it to work for the different features and functionality that's going to help you grow your business. Really get familiar with how WordPress works, what it means to manage a website, find out the things that you like, you don't like, things that you would want to improve upon, or which specific pieces that you want or don't want as you're moving forward in your business and as you're managing your website. Then once you've gone through the process of getting really familiar with WordPress and the ins and outs of the theme that you're using, at that point in time, you can start to open up a dialogue with a WordPress developer. I've had countless dialogues and conversation with different businesses and mainly online businesses into, you know, can we work this in? Can we try that? You know, what's going to make this better for the user? How's this going to make the content easier to manage? But all that conversation and that dialogue is a lot easier if you first have the foundation of understanding how WordPress works and you're familiar with what makes a good WordPress theme. You've been using it, you've been scheduling out posts, you've been writing content, you've been messing with the navigation, you're familiar, you've got your hands dirty. So 9 times out of 10, you're going to end up with a better end product once you decide to go the custom route, if you are already pretty well familiar with what makes a good WordPress theme and what are the strengths that WordPress is going to help you with when it comes to having that theme developed. So one of the things you might be wondering is, okay, so why should I go the custom route? Why not just settle and stay with one of the pre-built themes? Now you can. If you have a theme that works really well for you and you see no reason to break outside of what it enables you to do, by all means, go for it. A WordPress theme that's pre-built is going to pretty much not box you into a corner, but it's going to have a pretty limited amount of space and scope in terms of what you're able to do with that. Now, some people will recommend something called a child theme, and that would be a topic for a completely different episode. Just as a quick aside, I don't typically recommend a child theme. A child theme is basically taking a pre-built WordPress theme and sort of kind of building on top of it. So this would kind of be a hybrid between having something custom built, or I should say having, you know, buying a WordPress theme and having something custom built. Rather than having something custom built where the person starts completely from scratch, they use this pre-built WordPress theme and they kind of build on top of it. So again, like I mentioned, it's kind of a hybrid. One of the problems I have with doing this is that unless the WordPress theme that is the foundation is really, really well built and very clean, you can end up with something pretty heavy and bloated by the time you're done. Not to mention the fact that all the custom code that's built on top of this premium WordPress theme is a little bit at the mercy of the person who built the original premium WordPress theme, because as that person runs updates that could or could not affect the custom code that's built on top of it. So I typically recommend one or the other. Just get a premium WordPress theme and realize that you're going to have to operate within the scope of what that premium WordPress theme allows you to do, or hire a developer who's actually going to build you something from scratch, and then if and when the time comes that you want to add features, you contact that developer or another developer and you have them add those features. So again, pros and cons. In terms of getting up quickly getting up and running really quickly with your WordPress website, a pre-built WordPress theme is the way to go. thinking long term in terms of being able to craft and fine tune that WordPress theme to do exactly what you want it to do, to accomplish specific goals, and to expand a custom WordPress theme is going to be best for that. But I always recommend go for a premium WordPress theme to start with. That's, again, why I've built and have been building premium WordPress themes over at Notable Themes. At the end of the day, start there. And then if you can, or it looks like it's going to be beneficial down the road, I would say from that point on, consider talking with a designer, a developer, in terms of having something built from scratch. Okay, so now let's go ahead and dive into some of the specific things to look for in a WordPress theme. And again, this applies not only to something that you are buying, so you're going to buy a premium WordPress theme off the shelf, quote unquote, the digital shelf, or if you're going to be hiring something out. Again, go back, get that checklist if you haven't already, because this is going to be something that you're going to want to refer back to as you are deciding which WordPress theme or which WordPress theme route to go down. And again, if you want that checklist, just go to notableshow.com/6. Okay, so number one, this isn't going to be a shock to you if you've listened to some of the episodes I have done in the past, but it is very important that this WordPress theme is set up to help you build your list. Even if that's something as simple as a little opt-in form right there on the front page to sign up for your email and newsletter. I always recommend going beyond that, and I'm going to get into lead magnets and things that are going to help you build your list a little bit later in later episodes. But just start there. Make sure that this WordPress theme, however it's doing it, and again, go back and listen to that episode if you haven't listened to it already on the most important thing that a website must help you do. But make sure that in some way, this WordPress theme is going to help you build your email list. And best case scenario, make sure it integrates pretty well with your email marketing software. I always recommend ConvertKit. If you want a 30-day free trial, not to do a plug, but go to notableshow.com/convertkit. I always recommend them. Yes, that is an affiliate link, but you do get 30 days free. But to kind of back up, it is helpful if your WordPress theme integrates really well with ConvertKit. I know all the themes I build now, I build native ConvertKit API connectivity, which means that you can just connect your ConvertKit account directly to the theme. But whatever the case, make sure that it can integrate with whatever software you use, whether that's Infusionsoft or Drip or MailChimp. Just make sure that it's going to be simple for you to connect your email marketing service or software so that you are building that list in whatever way that is going to be helpful for you as you're running your online business. Okay, so number two, a very important point in terms of the front page. When people are first visiting this website, make sure that the theme makes it easy for you to make a prominent call to action, also known as a CTA. It's very important that you tell your users what you want them to do. So there are a lot of themes out there that just kind of, you know, throw a list of blog posts at them or, you know, at users, or just bombard with a ton of text or even, you know, a video that's not necessarily relevant to your online business. Just make sure that there's a button, at least just a singular, centrally focused button that is a call to action. What that call to action is may differ. That may actually be to opt into your list to get a free guide or a download. This may go in complete conjunction with building your email list, which is great. If it does, wonderful. Maybe a button to, you know, fill out a survey or to start a new project or to schedule a coaching call. Just make sure the main point of this is whatever WordPress theme you're using, make sure that it gives your users a clear path of action. Tell them exactly what to do. Make it clear. Don't make them have to think or figure it out, because they won't. There's too much content out there. There's too many websites out there. There's a lot of noise on the internet. So the number one key piece to an effective WordPress theme is something that makes things clear for the user. Clarity is king, is what I like to say. Number three, make sure it's easy to use, and specifically with the navigation. I notice one of the questions, the requests I get in terms of when I'm building WordPress themes, either pre-built or otherwise, is I get a lot of requests for, not so much from users, but from website owners to, can you add secondary and third level navigation menus to this theme? And what I tell most people is I can definitely add that functionality, but your users generally aren't going to appreciate that. Now, there are some exceptions to this rule. If you're an Amazon and you're selling 500 million, you know, I don't know how many products Amazon carries, but you sell 500 million products, then yeah, okay, I can understand having multiple drop-down menus. But most of us just don't have that much content on our website. So what I generally recommend is just shoot for 5 navigation items. Now, that doesn't mean that your theme, you know, has to have or, you know, can't have the ability to do submenus. But for your sake, try to find a theme that's going to limit the navigation and make it really easy to access. So meaning that 5 to 7 navigation items, depending on the type of theme or the type of site that you are running, or really the type of call to action that you're trying to incorporate. Sometimes it helps to make the top right hand button the top right hand navigation item a button to sign up for your free course, or, you know, to join your email list or to buy a product. That can be helpful. But at the end of the day, just make sure that your navigation is clear, it's concise. Try to use only one word. And this goes less to the theme and more to usability. But the more your theme is set up to make your navigation clear, clean, and readable, the better. If you'd like to see an example of this, you can see a theme I recently developed over at rayedwards.com. Ray Edwards is a podcaster, copywriting extraordinaire, and, you know, very big online business that he's running. And he's done that, and we've built this together on his current theme. So you can kind of see how it helps to have some of the navigation items nice and clean. It's a very important piece to an effective WordPress theme. One of the other pieces that generally gets overlooked is the actual management of content within this WordPress theme. I know a lot of WordPress themes out there do what I like to call post type creep. So if you've ever heard of feature creep or feature bloat in terms of software, that's kind of similar to what this is. So I've seen a number of, even some of the better WordPress themes out there have been guilty of this. And that's creating a ton of what are called post types. So in WordPress, a post, you know, a blog post is a post type. A page, just a general page, is a post type. So what people will tend to do as they're developing these themes is you can create your own custom post types as a theme developer. And so what people will do is they'll go nuts. And you'll look at the sidebar inside of WordPress. If you're really familiar with the WordPress admin, off to the left-hand side in the sidebar, that's where you got all your comments, your posts, your pages, all the stuff. And then, of course, all the content, all the different types of posts. So people will have videos and audios and tweets and quotes and tweet quotes and, you know, inspirational graphics. And there'll just be this long list on the sidebar of the different post types. And it just gets out of hand, and just for you as a content creator, just a complete bear to have to manage all those different post types. So what I typically recommend, this is where I kind of circle back to my original point. If your WordPress theme does everything, it does nothing well. And a big piece of that comes back to the specific content that you're creating with your WordPress website. Most of us just don't need that many different types of post types. Even on the Notable Themes website, I've just got a small collection of post types that are specific. Obviously, I build all my own WordPress themes from scratch. So I've done that in a specific way to keep all my content really organized. Just the specific types of content I want to create, I have that only in that WordPress theme. So if you can, try to find a theme that's just not going to overwhelm you with. I mean, I have seen one a couple months back, pretty popular. Not going to name it, but I think it has right around 18 post types, which is just crazy. I mean, unless you're like the New York Times, and even then, that's over the top. So try to keep it simple in terms of the amount of post types that you're going to be utilizing. If they do have a ton of, as even this isn't ideal, but if the theme has a ton of post types and you're only using like 3 of them, which sounds about right, turn them off if you can, because that's just going to slow things down. It's going to make your user interface, just for you as a content manager, difficult and cumbersome to navigate. Keep that nice and simple. So again, watch out for post type creep. Number five, it's really important for this WordPress theme to be very customizable. So if you're familiar with WordPress, you're probably familiar with the customizer. So WordPress natively has this nifty little thing called the customizer, where what it does is you click on customize in your admin bar at the top of the site, and it pops open this little like sidebar, and you can customize pretty much every aspect of your WordPress website and watch it change live. So you can change the colors, the typography, the layout, widgets, navigation items, pretty much any customizable aspect of your website, you can customize right within that customizer. Now, I know I'm dinging on multi-purpose WordPress themes again here, but multi-purpose WordPress themes and a number of others are guilty of just pretty much ignoring the WordPress customizer and just building their own. And there's a lot of downsides to this. Number one, it's totally third party, so it's a gigantic, bulky block of code that has to run this thing. You can't watch it changing the site live. Most of these things, you have to change panel after panel after panel, of different fonts and colors and, you know, layouts options. And again, it just gets really, really messy. So moral of the story, make sure that your theme has native WordPress customization features built in. WordPress has already created a way for us theme developers to make our themes really customizable. So there's no need to reinvent the wheel. Just make sure that your theme hasn't done just that, reinvent the wheel. Okay, so it kind of in tandem with that, I'm just going to kind of circle back to we'll get back to the customizing portion here in a moment, but kind of circling back to that no post type creep, another important thing is, and this is just kind of an aside to that, a solution to not creating a lot of post types is creating something called a post format. So a post format is a different style of post. So as you probably know, if you're pretty familiar with WordPress, WordPress enables you to create a post, and it's just called posts in the sidebar. And most of these are used for blog posts, but they can also be used for other things. You can create a category for your podcast. You can create, inspirational quotes, but you can create, it's just a post. That's the post type. Now a post format is a different style of post. Like you can do quotes, you can do video, you can do audio, you can do a link, and you can, as a theme developer, you can change the way that post looks on the front end based upon what post format you use. What a lot of developers have done in the past or still do is rather than using a single post type and then changing it based upon the post format, they like to create a different post type for every single one of these different formats, which again means you as a content creator are having to manage all of these rather than just manage a one type of post and then just switching between these different formats. So make sure that if there are different styles of post, they're using post formats, not a whole bunch of different post types. So what I would recommend, I know this can be a little bit confusing because again, this is audio, so we're not really looking at a visual. What I would recommend is just hop into a WordPress website if you have one. Go ahead and sign up for a free one at wordpress.com. If you don't currently have a WordPress website, just take a look at the admin, get familiar with what a post type is and what a post format is, just so you can familiarize yourself with it. But if you do know, you can take a look at screenshots as well. Just take a quick look because it is going to be really important for you. It's going to save you a lot of time. The things I'm sharing with you right now are things that I have seen save hours and hours of time for people who are running, managing, and maintaining WordPress websites. So it's going to behoove you to make sure that these things are well in place and understood and incorporated as you are searching for your WordPress theme or as you are having one custom built. Okay, so kind of to go back to the customization part of it, you want to make sure that page builders and third-party frameworks are either non-existent in this theme or at an absolute minimum. So again, I know I'm hitting on, these multi-purpose themes a lot, but another thing that they like to do is they like to build in these third-party page builders for building out pages. And again, what they tend to do is make it incredibly difficult for you as the user to use. They slow down the website massively, and sometimes they look nice, but getting them to match a demo site is just a bear. I know, just a quick aside, I actually built a WordPress theme or a WordPress website for a client years and years ago who insisted I used one of these pre-built WordPress themes, one of these multi-purpose WordPress themes, and I ended up coming to the conclusion at the end of the project that I could have created a WordPress theme from scratch faster than I could actually using this theme. So if that's any indicator for you as to why I tend to be rather anti multi-purpose WordPress theme, now you know why. Okay, so moving on. No more targeting pre-built multi-purpose WordPress themes. But number 8 is, and this is really important, you need to make sure that this theme is responsive. So all I mean by responsive is that it is mobile friendly and it adapts to pretty much any screen size. The number of people using WordPress or using websites in general on a mobile device is skyrocketing. In fact, there's some stats I looked at about a year or two ago that said, I think it was around 20, no, it wasn't that high, I think it was about 18% of households rely upon smartphones solely as their internet access. So what that means is that they almost all of their internet access is being accessed specifically through a mobile device. So if your website is not only mobile friendly but responsive, then you're going to make life for your users very difficult. So one of the things I want to mention about being responsive is that there is a difference between being responsive and mobile friendly. Mobile friendly can be, you know, helpful, but responsive is better. So for example, a lot of websites like to create like a mobile version of the website. And typically what they do is they make you jump over to another URL and it's formatted completely different. And sometimes it's just a completely different user experience. And sometimes it's not a very good user experience. Now it's okay. I mean, we can as a web developer and as content creators, we know that the actual user experience is always going to be different on a smartphone than it is on like, you know, a laptop, a tablet, or even a TV. However, it is still very important to make sure that it is still familiar and that it is still very easy to use. So the way a lot of web developers create websites these days and the way I create all my WordPress themes personally is they're responsive, which means that it doesn't hop over to a new URL. It doesn't completely change the website or, you know, you don't necessarily just install a plugin that makes your website, quote unquote, mobile friendly. The website actually adapts. It changes. Logos resize. Columns change or disappear. Navigation menus become hidden as you change the size of the browser. This is what a responsive website does. And it's smart. It's able to determine whether someone is viewing the site portrait on a tablet, landscape on a tablet, or on a smartphone. And it's going to change and it's going to optimize the layout and the usability based upon that screen size. So that's what I mean by responsive. If you want to test whether or not a theme is responsive, I would recommend not just taking its word for it, actually take your browser window, drag that corner, and just take a look at what that theme does to make sure that it is actually responsive and that it has been well designed to adapt to various mobile devices. Okay, and lastly, something that is very important as well is you just want to make sure that this theme has everything that's fundamental to growing your business beyond growing the email list. So you want to make sure it has all of the social links. You want to make sure that you can comment on blog posts. You want to make sure that it has share buttons if that's necessary and some social proof in there. So even share counts if that's going to be helpful to you when you're creating your content. I'm going to get into content creation in some later episodes, but you do want to make sure that, again, it's easier for people to connect with you on Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube, Vimeo, all those places. Again, email is number one, most important. Make sure you're building that list, but you do also want to make sure that it's easier for people to be able to connect with you in other places as well. So you want to make sure that you also have a spot for your contact information. It's really easy for you to create an about page that it's very, you know, easy to put together. And then also, and I know this seems kind of strange, just being tacked on at the end, you know, from a person who's a brand designer and a web developer, but you do want to make sure that it is aesthetically pleasing. You want to make sure that it does fit your brand, that the color schemes are easy to pick out, and that the color, the typography works really well. Make sure that it looks good. You don't want to make sure, you know, I typically put this in kind of a different category. I'm more concerned, even as a designer, and making sure that things work well rather than looking pretty, but it is helpful at the end of the day. If you have everything working well, having it look pretty is great. But I think with Steve Jobs, he said, design is more is about how it isn't about how it looks, but it's about how it works. I pretty much agree with that. But if you can get it to look really nice in addition to working well, that's helpful as well. Okay, so I know we've covered a lot. I would recommend, even as just kind of a recap, go back and download that checklist. You can get it today on today's show notes, which is notableshow.com/6. And one of the things I always like to mention, if you ever have a question for the show, if there's anything I've mentioned or talked about in this episode that you'd like me to expand upon or expound upon, feel free to record me a question, or you can send one in as well. You can go to notableshow.com/question. I've got a place right there where you can actually record a question for the show, and I'd be happy to, if it's a good fit, I'd be more than happy to make a full-length episode to answer your question. And like I always say, if I can't find the answer, I'm more than happy to find someone who does know, or even do some of the research to make sure I can find a good answer to that question. So as always, if you've enjoyed this episode, or you're enjoying the Notable Show, take a quick moment, jump on over to iTunes or the media of your choosing. Always subscribe, leave us a review. We always do appreciate it. And until next week, go out there and create something that is truly notable.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to the program. To review the show notes along with any links shared in this episode, visit notableshow.com. Also, please take a quick moment to subscribe and review The Notable Show on Apple Podcasts or the medium of your choosing. Thanks again for listening, and have a notable day.